Lord, we just want to say thank you. Thank you that you are the bright light that chases away our hinas. Thank you that you are the Lord of all. Lord, thank you that that you are so good and amazing. And we just love to be here. That we have joy in our hearts to be with you, to live a Christian life and just experience you and be with you and, you know, be part of your kingdom and building the kingdom. Thank you for that. Lord, you are a good, good God. You're a good Father. You're a good King. I just want to say thank you so much. Thank you for your love and your grace and the joy of the Lord. So good to live a life and just enjoy life. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we were worshiping, I just felt like the Lord saying, you know, just give them Jesus. And I'm like, Lord, but how? How do you give Jesus? I mean, we're sitting here with a group of people who came out in a storm. I mean, you guys probably know Jesus. Can I just see, who here is not on duty tonight? Can you just give me a wave if you're not on duty tonight? Okay. For you guys, absolutely, absolutely awesome. You guys are legends. I just like to pray a blessing over you. Lord Jesus, would you bless every single one of them, especially those who are not on duty tonight, who just came out because they love you, they love the fellowship and the believing people. Thank you just for them. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, would you bless them and equip them with everything they need to do your will. Would you bless them with joy and an abundance. Lord Jesus, would you just give them breakthrough in whatever they are trusting you for. Lord, would you excel their ministries? Would you be with them? Would you meet with them? Would you even shower up in the kitchen and drink tea with them or something, Lord Jesus? Just bless them and honor them for their commitment to you. Thank you, Jesus. And even those that's on duty as well, do that for them as well. In Jesus' name. Amen. So one of the stuff that I've always wanted to do ever since I came to France Circuit, it kind of took me a while to just spot out like every mountain peak, and I went like, I want to go up there, I want to go up there, I want to go up there. But one of the hikes that I really wanted to do, and I haven't done yet, but is there's a hike that you can do that goes from Berg River Dam all the way over the mountain, and then you end up in Stellenbosch in Jonkershoek. And that one I've planned numerous times, and I thought three times I had a specific date. This is the day that we're going to do this on, and then COVID came, and I was like, okay, no, it's not going to be that date. And then and I've got a buddy who's going to do it with me. I mean, I've always wanted to do that hike, but the first original thought of, hey, let's do this hike, it kind of came with a thing of, I had absolutely no idea if it was even possible. All I knew is what. It's connected. That's what I knew. And then, so of course, the first thing you do, if you have absolutely no idea, like, is it possible, how to do it, how difficult is it, how prepared should I be, is it worth it, is you go find a person that's done it before or that knows the area, and you just go and ask and say, hey, is it possible, is this a good idea, what should I do, how long is this trip going to be? You go on Google Maps and you kind of just plot it out and see the routes and things like that. I mean, that's very logical. You ask somebody that's been there before, and you kind of base your decisions on that. You follow their good advice, and you learn from their mistakes. And this has got absolutely nothing to do with church, but here's the link. I was reading Ecclesiastes. Oh, my goodness, I love that book. I read it all in one go, and then I went like, wow, this like light bulb. It's like Solomon did the hike. You know, it's like every single worldly perspective of, you know, chasing after riches or women or like fame or authority or power, or like, he's done that hike, he's done that hike, he's done it all. And then, and he's like, okay, cool, let's write a blog and tell people about it so that they know, like, it's not worth it to go after that peak. Or like, it's such a cool moment. So there's, yeah, let's just read the scripture. I just want to, if you forgot Ecclesiastes and like exactly the story. So basically, this is Solomon speaking. said to myself, come on, let's try pleasure. Let's look for all the good things in life. But I found that this too was meaningless. So there was something else before this which was also meaningless. But I thought this is a good moment to go for. So I said, laughter is silly. What good does it do to seek pleasure? After much thought, I decided to cheer myself up with wine. And while still seeking wisdom, I clutched at foolishness. In this way, I tried to experience the only happiness most people find during their brief life in this world. And you go to, I also tried finding meaning in by building huge homes for myself and by planting beautiful vines. I made gardens and parks, filling them with all kinds of fruit trees. I built reservoirs and I collected the water to irrigate many flourishing groves. I bought slaves, both men and women, and others were born into my household. I also owned large herds and flocks, and more than any other king had lived in Jerusalem before me. I collected great sums of silver and gold. The treasure of many kings and provinces. I hired wonderful singers, both men and women, and had many beautiful concubines. I had everything a man could desire. And if you read like Kings, you'll see this guy literally, like, he had it all in terms of the number of women, the number of money, the number of everything. Like, he absolutely excelled beyond what anybody could possibly think would have been possible. And if we read on, we go to, so I became greater than all who lived in Jerusalem before me, and my wisdom never failed me. Anything I wanted, I would take. I denied myself no pleasure. I even found great pleasure in hard work and a reward for all my labor. But as I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was all meaningless, like chasing the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. And then if we read on, I think I'm going to skip a couple of verses at this point. So I decided that there is nothing better than to enjoy food and drink and to find satisfaction in work. Then I realized that these pleasures are from the hand of God. And I think this book was perfectly summarized by a lady in our small group called Tiffany, who basically said, life is meaningless without God. Like, one cool phrase just to sum it up. And I think for this was so cool for me, because there's this place in the book where it also says that, like, whether you have a lot or whether you have little, if you don't enjoy what you have, then, like, it's both meaningless. But if you have little and you enjoy and you're content with what you have, it is more worthwhile than the guy who has everything and, like, just pursue more and not really have joy in it. And kind of like seeing there that, you know, it says that, you know, it's a gift of God. It is of God to enjoy life and enjoy the things of life, and which kind of brings the question, and I think, you know, this is probably what Ecclesiastes is trying to answer, is the big question of what is the meaning of life, the universe and everything, you know, what's the purpose of life? Why are we here? What are we doing? And his conclusion after, like, climbing every single mountain of riches and everything that you can go, is like, it's trying to, like, catch smoke. If you just try and, like, play in the smoke, it's fun. But if you try and catch it, you kind of lose yourself within it, and you lose that enjoyment of life. You miss the gift that God gave. And then it's like, but it's of God. It's the whole purpose is God. Without God in it, there's no worth of it. So basically, there's no, like, secret. The purpose of our existence. I mean, if you want to know the meaning, like the reason why something was created. I mean, where do you go to find the meaning of something that's created? You go to the creator and you say, hey, why was this created? Or you read the manual which was written by the creator. So if you want to know the meaning of why, like, we exist, we got to go to the manual, we got to go to God, and he makes no secret of it. Like, he's here to be in a relationship with us because he loves us. Like, that's, boom, loving relationship, that's what it's about. Now, if that is what it's about, how do we actually love God? I mean, we know, I'm assuming everybody have heard somewhere of the five love languages. Of like, you know, acts, deeds, time, gifts, and service. Think, you know, deeds and service is the same thing, so I think words of affirmation. Thank you very much. So, but like, how do we love God? And we can pretty much use that as a bit of a model as well. But there's this really cool verse that kind of gives us a lacquer indication of where Jesus, where God basically just said, "If you love me, obey my commands." It's like, oh, okay, that's pretty simple. But if you love me, obey my commands. So, what is God's command? Well, love God. It's like, okay, cool. That's pretty circular. And then, and your neighbor as yourself. So, if we, purpose of existence, loving relationship with God, how do we love God? Love our neighbors as ourselves. Like, it becomes like a really like, whoa, okay, actually loving our neighbors as ourselves has got a little bit more weight to it if you realize that that's kind of linked up with why God created us, is in that. And that is how his heart is for you. Because, I mean, if she's my neighbor and you're my neighbor and you're my neighbor, that means God's heart for you is that he wants people to love you. He wants people to treat you with patience, kindness, goodness, forgiveness, gentleness, self-control, and, you know, all the goodness that comes from it. Like, that's what God's heart is for you. So if you're kind of sitting here and we speak about the joy that we experience in Jesus, or we're like, yeah, it's so great, it's wonderful, can you, like, the joy of the Lord, and you're sitting here and you're like, yeah, like, I kind of know Jesus, but I don't really experience the joy of being a Christian. I don't know what this joy and freedom really is. I don't feel it. I want to kind of tell you, like, you're missing out. Please continue to just see God in this and, like, ask for prayer and go, like, hey, I want to experience that joy. Because if it hits you, it hits you like a truck. It's unmissable. Like, if you're not experiencing joy, please definitely afterwards come and say hi and ask for, like, a prayer that says, hey, Lord, let's, like, release the joy. But, yeah, so basically, if you got to love our neighbor, then the question, of course, becomes, how do we love our neighbor? And I've you know, named a couple, but, you know, Liesl had a sermon earlier in the month of saying, basically, listen to people. If we listen to them and we, like, that is a form of loving them. Then we also got, like, tending to their physical needs. That's part of loving them. You know, forgive them. You know, the list goes on and on. And, you know, as I was reading just through the whole patience, kindness, goodness, you know, there's this one that I kind of summarized and joined together as wanting the best possible outcome for others. And sometimes the best possible thing for somebody else means that it's not necessarily what you wanted. But, like, rejoicing and being glad when others succeed and wanting the best possible outcome for them. And one of the things, oh my goodness. yeah, so there's this thing that I saw in Canada where it's a video, so I'm just going to reenact it because I couldn't find the video. Basically, two friends sitting next to one another, and there's a guy who's blind who's walking over there, and he's like tapping away, you know, it's like tap, 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 and he's heading to a cliff, and his two friends are sitting there, and they're like, hey, is that Jonathan? It's like, yeah, it's him. It's like, he's heading to a cliff. Oh, yeah, no, that doesn't look good. And it's like, you know, this guy is tapping away. It's like, we should totally go and stop him. It's like, oh, whoa, you can't warn him. Like, remember, he's blind. If you tell him that he's going to walk off a cliff, it means that he could get offended because you're, like, reminding him of the things he can't do. And that, you know, it's like, yeah, but, like, I got to go warn him. It's like, yeah, but, you know, everybody should find his own way. You know, it's, you know, you can't tell him what to do and where to walk and where not to walk. And besides, there's a thorn bush in the way. You might get, you know, cut by the thorns on your way there. You know, it's best not to do anything. And of course, that sounds ridiculously absurd. And on the video, of course, no, the poof didn't happen. They kind of cut before that. But point being is that's, you know, ridiculously absurd. But wanting the best possible outcome for somebody else, of course, you know, it, this principle, of course, refers to sharing the gospel. There, like Stefan said, like there's a destination. And if you are blind and you don't know where you're heading towards, it is the most loving thing to do is to risk running through a thorn bush, to risk that guy getting offended. And if they get offended because you were trying to warn him, that is okay. And we often kind of talk our way out of like situations where we don't share the goodness and the joy that there is within the Lord. I want you to just for a moment, think for a moment, just what the Lord has done in your life in the past 2 years. Something that you go like, wow, the Lord has done this. Wow, the Lord has done this. This is what I feel like when I'm with him. This is what I feel like when I was at Freedom Weekend. This is like the goodness and the joy, the freedom, the provision, the everything that there is within the Lord is available to all. That is what we want for everybody. And to not share that is selfish. To not share that goodness that we have like becomes a bit of a, like, what? Like, Jesus clearly said, here's the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion, the Great Commission. Like, go, preach the gospel. Because he loves them, and he wants you to love them. And I want to encourage you, I don't know how often you share the gospel with people you know and the people you don't know. But I just want to re-encourage you to continue to do that. And whether we love them through meeting physical needs or whatever. And like, I'm this guy who's really passionate about sharing the gospel. I think I preach about this almost every single time. But I went into a moment where I went like, Lord, is there a season in life? Is there a situation where like sharing the gospel is kind of not required? And so I kind of put a whole bunch of scriptures together to kind of find, and I did find one, by the way. And I was looking at different seasons, and I'm thinking of like the new disciples learning about new things. Like they're young at faith. They kind of just met Jesus right now, and everything's upside down for them. You know, I've got Paul who's like during and after a shipwreck. You know, you've got Jonah who really did not want to go share what the Lord has on his heart. And then you've got, you know, Jesus before persecution, you've got Jesus in the wilderness, and you've got Elijah who's really hungry and afraid, kind of hiding out for his life. And I kind of just looked at those, and then if you go to the next slide, it kind of just like, what did they do during those seasons? And, you know, the disciples was learning and doing. You know, Jesus said, hey, okay, cool, now you go do this. While they were still being discipled, you've got Paul during a shipwreck who was preaching and demonstrating God's power, like, and people, you know, got to experience him while he's in prison. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff that Paul did. Like, during hardship and during physical difficulty, like, it's still a good time to preach the gospel. Then, you know, you've got Jonah who really didn't want to go share, and it, you know, he ended up sharing anyways. It wasn't the greatest of sermons, but it means that even if you don't want to, even if you don't really give a good speech, you know, the Lord can totally use you. Jesus before persecution, it's just for me, it's the season of, like, he knows what he's doing. He doesn't have any persecution at that moment. So he's kind of like, when stuff goes well, like, sharing the gospel, absolutely. And then you've got Jesus in the wilderness, and I think that's the moment where he wasn't sharing because he was alone. He wasn't like telling people about the Father or what he's about to go into. He was alone, and it was a very intentional season for him. I mean, if you think about it, he had 3 years of ministry, and like just more than a month he was like alone in the wilderness. That's a pretty big chunk of your ministry. And I think with that is, for me, that said, yes, there are seasons where, like, making a point of dealing with stuff and not focusing on sharing the gospel, there's a biblical season for it, which was probably sobering for me to hear, but also kind of like, oh, I wanted to say, no, there's not, but there it is. But he was intentional, and the Lord was busy with him. He wasn't just chilling it out. He was intentional, and the Lord was doing something. And I want to encourage you, if you are in a wilderness season, if you're like, okay, cool, I'm in that season, know what the Lord is doing. And like, work through it. Deal with it. Get prayer support in. Do whatever you need to do to make use of that wilderness. Going through the wilderness just without really learning what you are supposed to be learning or doing what you're supposed to be doing kind of prolongs it, I think. And kind of just, it's a waste of a wilderness season. And then, of course, you've got Elijah, hungry and afraid, but still obedient, regardless of how afraid he was. He was about to get killed if he opens his mouth, but he went anyways. And, so it doesn't matter what the season is, God is working. But in most situations, there are examples of people that say, hey, listen, but sharing the gospel, sharing, being obedient to God's word, doesn't matter how difficult or how easy it is, it's a good idea. Go for it. And sometimes, yeah, the Elijah story for me, when you've got absolutely nothing and sharing the gospel, this kind of took me to a moment where I've done a Luke 10 challenge. I don't know if you know what a Luke 10 challenge is, but I'm just going to quickly read Luke 10, and then I'll explain the challenge a little bit better and tell you what happened. So we've got, after these things, which was a whole bunch of miracles that happened, the Lord appointed 70 others, so not just the 12 apostles, also, and sent them two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs amongst wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if the son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you and remain in the same house. Eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborers are worthy of their wages. Eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of their wages. Wages, of course, refers to a reward for doing something. And if Jesus says, hey, go and do this, he's like, I will take care of you. Like, you are allowed to receive the blessings that come your way. The Lord's basically saying, I implore you. Do not go from house to house. Rather, sit wherever city you enter and try and receive you. Eat things as they are set before you, and heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that this will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom and Gomorrah. So basically, a Luke 10 challenge is exactly this. It is going out 2-2 and taking no money, no extra clothing, no extra nothing. You just go exactly as you are, and you say, okay, Lord, where to now? So that's what we did. So this was part of the Global Challenge story. Every team does this every year. So we basically, the team of six split up into three groups of two, like 2-2-2. And it was one of those things of, we've heard stories of people doing the Luke 10 challenge. And it's kind of like one of the highlight moments of the year, because like, crazy stuff happens. Because when you really, really put all of your trust in God, like God, does stuff. And we've heard of stories of people that ended up in a Hilton hotel during that week. We've also heard of stories that slept at the train stations in the gutters in India. We've heard of people that went to three different countries during that week and came back. Like the sky's the limit of possibilities of what can happen. And, you know, so me and the guy that was with me, like, we prayed and we said, Lord, you know what, you know, come the Hilton or the slums, you know, like, we are ready for you. Like, send us wherever you want to send us. And the Lord has got this good sense of humor. We said we are ready for anything. Boy, how's that, that prayer. Now, okay, so basically what happened was we were traveling from one point in Malaysia to another point, which was a couple hundred kilometers away. So we were hitchhiking, but we had all our stuff with us. But we kind of did the thing of no money, no knapsack, no nothing. So even though we had everything on our back as a really big lump of heavy weight and temptations, we decided not to use any of that for this week. So we needed to get from where the coast is and to Kuala Lumpur, which is the city there. So we started hitchhiking. Well, before we started hitchhiking, sorry. We kind of needed to know where to go. So first thing we did is we asked the Lord where to go. We sat down, we prayed, we read some Bible, and I read this verse of, you know, a specific area being described. I think it was in Deuteronomy, so it's probably the Promised Land. And, you know, it spoke of the mountains and the waters and the farmlands and the da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, okay, cool. We need to go to mountains, waters, farmlands. And so I walked up to a tourist. I said, do you have a map? He said, yes. And I just looked at the map, and I go like, that's the spot. There's a mountain, there's water, there's farmland, let's go for it. So we were hitchhiking to that spot. And then as we were hitchhiking, nobody really knew English, and we fell asleep in the one car and then woke up in a city which we had no idea where we were. So now we're like at a bus stop, and we have in a city, we have no idea where we are, and we have no idea where we're supposed to be going, and if we're even in the right direction of where the mountains, the waters, and the farmlands were. So, because the people that dropped us off really don't speak English that well. So, we literally just said, Lord, left or right. And we would stand still. We're at the bus stop, the road is in front of us, and we'd take a moment, and when we felt like the Lord gave us the answer, we'd go 1, 2, 3, and we'd just say, you know, left or right, depending on what we felt the Lord said. And we'd both go, left. And here we go, we went left. Got to the next one, straight. Yep, no, we're going straight. And I think it was about 7 or 8, like, intersection stops kind of things, where we literally, every single time, we got exactly the same. Like, there was a good unity moment during this. And if you, I don't know the mathematicians, but trying to do that just, you know, mathematically, I think, you know, adds up to quite a number of that's not coincidence. And we got to a Nissan garage, and the Nissan garage guy is like, I was like, yeah, that guy's going to definitely speak English and tell us where we are, so let's just, like, pop in here. And the guy draws out a map, and he's like, okay, cool, no, so this is where we are, and we're, like, exactly in that intersection in the middle where the river is, there's some mountains and farmland in that, and we're like, we're exactly where we needed to be. And the guy's like, okay, well, what are you guys doing? We're heading, and we kind of tell him a little bit of our story. And he's like, well, you know what? My one colleague, he's going for a hospital checkup up in the northeast. And he basically has to drive there through the night, sleep there, and come back the next morning. I bet you he would love some company. And we're like, that sounds good to us. This guy was a Muslim, which was even better for us. And so basically, they said, okay, cool, yes, but we have to wait until it's the end of work day. So, you know, go to my other friend and then stay with him for a day, like until the end of the day, and then they're going to come pick us up and then do the whole trip. So that happened, and we didn't tell them the part that we don't have any money to use at all for this. We just neglected to tell them that on purpose. And then we became guests in this house. They took us to an elephant sanctuary, and this guy was a Christian. And then, so with broken English, we kind of, had a bit of a conversation going, and then we went with the Muslim guy from the Nissan garage, and we went all the way up there, which is a really long, awesome drive, because you've got a captive audience who needs to hear the gospel. So we had an opportunity to share the gospel for him, and of course, he needs healing because he's going to a hospital checkup. I mean, come on, this was a good moment. So we basically, he dropped us off, he booked a chalet for me and my buddy to sleep in, and he was going to sleep at, we didn't ask for that, that kind of just happened. Overlooking the ocean, chalet, it's beautiful. He slept at some family's house, and we prayed for him. The next morning he went to the hospital, and I mean, you could clearly hear as we were talking to him, he had fluid in his lungs of some sorts, like his breathing wasn't great, his talking was like problematic and blah, blah, blah. And his wife is a Christian, and he was angry at her for not really living out her faith. It was a weird moment, but we could share the gospel and encourage this guy, and then he agreed to join his wife to go to church to help her encourage to live out her faith. So basically the connection was made, and the Lord sent us all that way to kind of connect with this guy to rekindle a marriage and to connect to this guy so that he can know Jesus as well. And then of course, it comes without saying, he got healed. The medical guys cleared it completely. There was nothing wrong in his lungs, no nothing. You could clearly hear it in his breathing and his talking. And then we had the trip all the way back to exactly where we needed to be. And then he dropped us off at the road again, and we're like, okay, cool, cheers, bye. And then we said, okay, Lord, left or right? And we did that thing again, and it worked perfectly. And eventually we got to a T-junction, we're like, left or right? And both of us immediately just said, we didn't hear anything. It's like, okay, well, that's where we need to be. So then we stood there, and we're like, okay, well, we need to be here, but we don't know why. And it took a couple of maybe a minute, and somebody walked over from across the street and said, hey, guys, how are you? It's like, yeah, all good. And it's like, it's getting dark. And previously, we slept in a soccer stadium. We're looking for some accommodation. And, we had some money because the Muslim guy gave us money for breakfast. We didn't use all of it. And we're like, we've got this much money, which is like the equivalent of 12 Rand. we're not going to get accommodation. And the guy basically said, okay, cool, listen, let me go speak to my boss at the restaurant. We'll check if we can sort you guys out, because you're not going to get accommodation. We're like, okay, that sounds cool. And this is where the thing came in, where I said, God, we're ready for anything, and he had a sense of humor. So the restaurant owner basically said, hey, listen, come and eat at the restaurant, select anything off the menu, and you can just crash at our place later tonight. That's totally fine. And we're like, okay, cool, awesome. This is where we needed to be, so this is clearly what God wants us to be. The challenge for us was, both of us grew up in a pretty traditional Afrikaans home, and this person, the restaurant owner, happened to be a 55-year-old male who thinks he is a lady. And what happened there was, the Lord basically challenged us very much to say, okay, well, you always preach on, love the person regardless of their sin. And we had to go like, okay, cool. Well, this is the and this is like, we've got a week, and we only spent one night in the soccer stadium and one night in the chalet, which means we've got a couple days left. And we both knew this is this person of peace that needs to experience God's love. So yeah, we basically just sat around the table and said, Lord, you got to change our hearts. This thing of judgment towards others in different facets, like, now you're challenging us big time. Like, Lord, change our hearts. And it literally happened in an instant. After we said amen, it was like, boom, okay, here we go. Like, we knew the mission, we knew what was, the game plan, and it was such a good 4 days. What was supposed to be just a one-night kind of visit and then on our way again. What happened was, that night, it was a restaurant that ran all the way through till 3 p.m. It was in a night market, which meant that yeah, we basically stayed there for the entire night until 3 a.m. sorry, and then packed up until 4 a.m. and then went for a meal with all the friends until 5 a.m. and then at 6 a.m. we go to bed. They didn't tell us that. But that happened. And then, so during that night, she made three times, I say she because that's the person that we were dealing with. Like, that was the personality, the person that we were dealing with was a she, even though created, it was a he. So it was a pretty a challenging moment for us to kind of wrap our heads around, how do we minister, to who do we minister here? And then, so, yeah, basically, they made three times as much profit in that night than, you know, any other night. And then we got the invite to say, please stay longer because, like, there's good luck on you. And we're like, nah, it's not luck. Here's the thing. It's our God. It's a blessing from our God. Like, you have accepted us, and, like, it's a blessing from our God. And it's like, okay, cool, stay as long as you want. So we basically stayed like four nights, and the sleeping arrangement was a Christmas bed with the chef, the waiter, the owner, the kid, me, and my buddy, and we're just like Christmas bedding it out on in the living room. And the chef is like a sniper in the military. You just see these pictures of him with some, you know, two massive, you know, 50 cals. Like, it was an interesting moment in our lives. But basically, the Lord literally provided for us for that entire week. We did that whole travel thing. They eventually bought a bus ticket for us to go all the way to Kuala Lumpur. The amount of meals that we had for that week was, we averaged it out at 3.7 per day. Like, We took absolutely nothing. We knew absolutely nobody. We were hitchhiking and stuff like that. And basically what I wanted to come down to is, if you don't know the Lord that can change your heart towards a specific person, if you don't know the Lord that provides in ridiculous circumstances, if you don't know the Lord that protects you, because, of course, if you hang out with, yeah, if you hang out with a man who thinks he's a lady, there's some really dodgy moments, you know, that happens between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. Like, the Lord's protection was great. And then, you know, if you don't know the Lord in that way, if you don't know the Lord of joy, I would really encourage you, do something, even if you do something as crazy as a Luke 10 challenge, to experience him in this way. Because that changed my life completely, in the sense of, like, trusting God becomes easy. Taking the leap of faith, when the Lord says, hey, listen, I want you to do this, or I want you to just keep doing the same. And you're like, but it makes it so much easier to take that step of faith and the leap of faith, because you know, hey, I've seen God operate in this. And I... Do you not know that you are more worth than a sparrow? And yeah, so I don't know. Maybe somebody's sitting here and thinking, well, you know, I've got little money and no job anyways. I might as well go do a Luke 10 challenge, you know, and be employed by God, and he's going to provide for me. Why not? if you're thinking of that, you know, afterwards come to me and, like, we'll talk through a little bit stuff. And I'll pray a blessing, and then I would love to get some feedback. If you're a family that says, hey, I've got, let's do this for a holiday. Let's take a week, not plan anything. Just fill up the car with petrol, and then just go, Lord, where do we go? And find the people that he puts on your heart to make outreach of your holiday. Do it. It is life-changingly, awesomely, just do it. Yeah, I've got some other stuff that I also plan to say, but I think I'm kind of gonna end it here. If you're a parent, and you've got kids and small disciples that you're raising up, I want to encourage you, share these stories, like the one that I just shared with you. Share your testimonies of what God is doing, what God did in the Bible times, but also what he is currently doing. Because a lot of kids that grow up, I know Bridgehouse kids the best, they don't necessarily know that, hey, God is still doing miracles. And we're privileged here where we see miracles happen every other weekend. But telling them that bedtime stories is amazing. One of the stuff that my dad gave us when we were kids is we had this tape cassette of just, it's stories from the missions field where missionaries recorded like the stories of what God did. And I mean, we could listen to that stuff over and over again. And I still remember the stuff to this day, like this guy trying to smuggle Bibles in through the border, and then all of a moment when that bag goes through the scanner, this beautiful lady just walks past and everybody goes, "What?" And the whole bag just goes through the scanner, and then they take the bag and they walk around the corner, no person, no lady, no nothing, just nothingness. And they're like, "Yeah, that happened." And I mean, I met a guy, awesome guy. He's been smuggling audio Bibles into various different countries. He's just like, he's taking duffel bags, loads of it. And it's like into countries where it's like not allowed at all. And he's just like, "Well, God's going to do something. I don't know what yet, but like he's just taking up." He's like, "If you want to join me, just come and join me, because that means I can take two more bags with me, because you know, like extra person means, so just like help us get, just don't worry, let's just get more stuff in there." So the cassette was recorded by my church in Pretoria. So I reached out to them and I said, "Hey, do you guys still do that?" So guess what I got? I got some hard copy CDs. For those of you that still have CD players, it's got 44 English and Afrikaans, like it's not translated, it's like half English, half Afrikaans, of awesome stories that God has been doing all throughout the world in various different countries. It is absolutely the best bedtime stories ever, like faith challenging, amazing stuff. And then because I'm a tech guy, what I've also done was I've made it available online with a QR code. Yes. So if you don't have a CD player, there's a QR code. Feel free to take your phone out and take a picture of that and scan that. The one is God's Untold Stories. That's the disc over there. The other one is the Shofar Stories. I don't know if you know this, but Shofar has a YouTube channel. And basically, the one playlist is like numerous and numerous of stories of miracles that happened with people in Shofar. So there's a whole bunch of stuff there, like healings of people that got healed of cancer. There's one of a person that was declared medically dead and rose from the dead. There's like a guy who got shot at like point blank, and then the bullet kind of just curved and hit something else. Like there's some ridiculously awesome stuff that's kind of just really faith building. Awesome to listen in the car when you're driving to Cape Town, or bedtime stories wherever you go. But basically, teaching people about the importance to share your story, your witness. I bet like the majority of you that's sitting here have experienced God in a miraculous way pretty recently in your life. Like just based on the statistics of like what happens at church. Share your story. Record your story. Do something. But the Lord has given you a story so that you can share it with others out of love, so that they can experience Him as well, so that they can also walk in this freedom. We've had an awesome example of exactly that happening, you know, a couple of weeks ago, where somebody shared what God has been doing in their heart, and just freedom after freedom after freedom. Love your neighbor by sharing the gospel, by sharing what God did in your heart. Even if you do an absolute useless job like Jonah did, God can use it. But if you just say, "Hey, this is where I was. I once was blind, then Jesus, and this is how it's now." That has power. Please do that. So I want to encourage you and kind of give you a challenge. I don't know if I'm allowed to do that. But Wednesday's small group. Today is Sunday. There's 3 days in between. I want to give a challenge. Share what God has done in your life or the gospel with somebody that you've never shared it to before, and give feedback at small group. I want to put it as a challenge so that we're more intentional about it than just like, "Oh yeah, I have to do that." But kind of like, and you know, Sebastian, hold me accountable. Me too. Right? But let's be intentional about it. Let's share the love and the gospel, because sharing the gospel is one of the most loving things that one can do. And I'll end off with that. We can keep the QR codes maybe up there, like after the service, if people want to scan it. Lord Jesus, you are amazing, amazing God. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you have conquered all to give us freedom and to give us joy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord Jesus, would you give us the boldness and the words, just like you gave Moses the words. Would you give us the boldness and the words to share your love, Lord Jesus, to live out what you have created us to do, to be in a relationship with you. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody in the desert, Lord, deal with whatever needs to be dealt with in their hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, if there's somebody who's like living a Luke 10 anyways, Lord, I pray that they would have an urge to just share the gospel and that you would reward them for working in the kingdom. Lord, and I pray they would take up the conversations, and regardless if there's a thorn bush or if somebody could take offense, that we would act out of love, and that we would know that people are saved and that people are loved. Lord, you called us to love. You have called us to go into the cities, and if they don't accept us, it sucks. But you said, move on. You said, sow, and sometimes the seeds won't come up. But that shouldn't prevent us from stop sowing. That shouldn't prevent us from stop loving. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.